Good evening, everybody. The last couple of weeks, we spoke a little bit about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. We highlighted the stark contrast that we find in halacha between the two dinim. There's a separate set of halachas that guide us how we are supposed to act in a Beis HaKnesses, and a separate set of dinim on how one is supposed to act in the Makam HaMikdash. These are not to be confused with one another, and as we said in the previous weeks, one is considered the Beis Hashem. One is considered our experience going to visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one is considered the Beisam Shel HaTzibur. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us in the shul, that is a very different experience than we have when we go to be Ola Regel on the Beis HaMikdash. Then we spoke last week a little bit about Mora Migdash Bizman Hazeh, that even at a time when there is no Beis HaMikdash, perhaps the din of Mora Migdash still applies. Like the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Vav, Ma Shmira Shabbos Hamur LaOlam, just like one has to keep Shabbos for his whole life, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's not a mitzvah that's tluya ba'aretz. So too, the Gemara says, we learn out from a juxtaposition in a pasuk where it says, as Mikdashai Tiro, Eshapsosai Dishmar Mikdashai Tiro, from the fact that the two halachas are said next to one another, so too, Mora Mikdash is la'olam. That even at a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, we have a chiyuv to go ahead and be mechabed the Makam HaMikdash. So that is an important halacha. Now, this last week, I want to focus on some important insights into our visiting the Makam HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh. I'm not going to go into talking about visiting Har HaBayis per se. That's a whole political issue, and it's not really for now. I'm going to talk about something which is a lot more relevant for most of us when we go to visit the Kotel itself, just to point out a couple of interesting things that we should know about and be aware of when we go and visit the Kotel, some halachas that are very important that we should know. So one is, when we talk about the Kotel, somebody asked a couple of weeks ago, how is it that they got those stones all the way up? How they built such a wall like that? How is it possible? Somebody said here the other week that the pyramids in Egypt don't have stones that are as big as the stones of the Kotel. So how did they actually get them up there? So in fact, I saw in the Sefer Sha'arei Tzion, which is a Sefer written by Rav Rabinowitz in Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes this following medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. It's an interesting medrash. And that is the response to whoever's question that was a few weeks ago. So says the Medrash. Let's read it together. This is a Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, Parshas Naso, Parsha Yudalit, Va'amar. And the Pasuk says in Malachim, Bano Banisi Beis Zevul Lach. I have built a Beis Zevul Lach, a Beis HaMikdash. Mahu Bano Banisi. Ask the Medrash, what does it mean, Bano Banisi, a double Lashem? What is it coming to add? Amar of Yaakov Reder of Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, Amar Binyan Banoi Bonisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I built you a building that was already built. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Yosef Amar, HaKol Masayim LeMelech. He says that it means, imagine a king would hang up a sign that he wants to build a palace. Anyone who wants to come help should come help. We would all run to help, right? It's very exciting to go help out the king to build his palace. Kol Shekein. So certainly over here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that he's going to build his own palace, his own house, HaKol Masayim LeMelech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly we all collectively come along and are mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all help him out by building his own house. And what does that mean? Not only does it mean the human beings, but said the Medrash, Afilu Ruchos, Afilu Shedim, Afilu Malachim. That the Beis HaMikdash and Har HaBayis were built not only with the help of human beings, but also with the Ruchos, with the winds, with the Shedim, and the Malachim. So it's no question any longer, how is it possible that they got these stones onto the walls like that? How is it that they built an edifice the size that they did? The answer is that we even had the help of the Ruchos, of the Shedim, of the Malachim. Then the Medrash continues, Amra Brachia Ksiv, Vahabayis Behibanoso, Asherheim Bonim En Ksiv Ela Behibanoso, Me'ilavu Nivne. Medrash says that sometimes, in certain parts of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it was built by itself. Not that we had to go ahead and build it, but it was built by itself. Evan Shleima Masa Nivna Malamichaisa Evan Masasas Atzma. Some of the stones carried themselves. They traveled all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. It was absolutely through miracles. Va'ola v'nitna agabi hadimas. They just went up. They traveled all the way from wherever they came. And they just placed themselves right on top of the wall along. So, for anyone who was wondering how is it possible that such a wall was built, the Medrash seems to be describing a supernatural way of building that we have up to this point never experienced and probably never will experience again. But it would seem that there was a lot of supernatural help that went into building the Kotel, building the Har HaBayis and the Makam HaMikdash, and that is an important and interesting medrash for us to note. Yeah?
Is there a Bayis Sheni also, or maybe just Bayis Rishon?
I think it's talking about Good question. I think it's talking about Bayi Sheni also. Good question. Not sure. Gotta look it up again. So when we talk about Inyanim of the Kotel, it's a very beautiful insight that we find by Rav Kook. A story about Rav Kook, as I put a number base, Kishofia Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook B'Mishpat HaKotel HaMaravi Lefnei V'idat HaKotel. There was a group of people in the government who were figuring out what is going to be one day with the Kotel. Should we allow people to go and daven there? Should we allow people entrance and access there? Or should we say that no, you can have the Kotel once you get sovereignty over that particular piece of land? But until the Jewish people had sovereignty, perhaps they shouldn't have allowed people to daven there. Anyway, it was a bit political at the time, and they called upon Rav Kook to come and weigh in on the issue. So Rav Kook said, Amar lo Yoshev Rosh HaVeida Ben HaSheilot. So there was somebody who was steering this committee to talk about the Kotel, and he asked Rav Kook the following question. Einani mevin, I don't understand, ma kol harash hazeh. What are you guys making such a big deal out of this wall? Al ma v'lama atem margishim umarishim olam. Why are you shaking up the whole world and making everyone crazy? Al HaKotel HaMaravi HaZeh. Why are you getting so excited about the Kotel? After all, it's just a wall. Halo sof sof einenu ela kama nidbachim shel avanim v'sulo. It's just a big pile of bricks. And what do you have? It's just a wall. So what do you have already? Why is everyone going so wild about the Kotel? So said Rav Kook, Lo Adoni Heshev HaRav Zal. Said Rav Kook, no, you got it all wrong. Yesh avanim shehem livavot. V'yesh livavot shehem avanim. Said Rav Kook, sometimes you have stones that are as soft and as sensitive as people's hearts can be. And at other times, said Rav Kook, you have people's hearts that can be as cold and as callous as a stone can be. And Rav Kook said that when we talk about the whole inyan of the Kotel HaMaravi, when we talk about the Makom HaMikdash, these are not simply stones. It's not simply a nadbach shel avanim. It's not just a pile of stones, one on top of the other, put in a very nice, neat pile in a beautiful way. But said Rav Kook, no, these are stones that actually speak to us. They're the stones that tell us our own story. These are stones that understand our troubles. They understand our pain. And therefore, I thought it was appropriate just to take the last year that we have the experience together here to learn and just spend a couple of moments trying to appreciate and understand some of the halachas regarding this very sacred space, this very sacred place, the Makom HaMikdash and the Kotel HaMaravi. So let's get right into our issues. So issue number one that we have to discuss is this wall considered a part of the Har HaBayis, or is it in fact considered a part of the Azara? Now what is the difference? If you assume it's simply the Har HaBayis, then when one stands in front of the wall, what do you assume? Is he in a Makom Kadosh or is he not? Not at all. If, in fact, this is a wall of the Azara, then we assume that what? By standing in front of the wall, what are you standing on? You're standing on the Har HaBayis. Now, who is allowed to enter the Har HaBayis? Who is allowed to enter the Har HaBayis? We know. What?
People who are tar.
People who are tar. What kind of Tuma and Tahara are we describing here? So there are two separate categories of Tuma v'Tahara. There's one Tumah v'Tahara that's called Tumah HaYotzeh Elav Migufo. Sometimes a person becomes Tameh because he has some sort of emission from his own body. Azav, Azava, Nida, Yoledes, Mitzora, those kind of Tumas are called Tumah HaYotzeh Elav Migufo. We have a second category of Tumah, which is somebody who comes in contact with a dead body, either Tumas Ohel, that he's in the same room, or he actually physically touches the body. If you have a situation like that, that is a separate kind of Tumah. One who enters the Har HaBayis must make sure not to be a Tumah HaYotzeh Elav Migufo. He has to make sure that he is not Tamei because of Zav Zava Nida Yoledes, but he is allowed to be a Tamei Meis. This is what we assume, that a Tamei Meis is allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. A Tumah HaYotzeh Elav Migufo is not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. Now, in order to get a Tumah HaYotzeh Elav Migufo off, what is one supposed to do? You go to the mikveh. So you go to the mikveh and it's all fine. In order to remove a tumas mace, what does one have to do? You need para aduma. Right? So you need para aduma in order to remove the tumas mace. So obviously the tumas mace we can't really get rid of, but a tame mace is allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. In the Azara itself, a tumah yotzeh migufo and a tame tumas mace is usher. One has to be completely tar in order to enter the Beis HaMikdash proper. So over here, we find a big discussion in the Acharonim, and the Stechema takes a couple of pages to describe this, that the Acharonim really were not sure. When we have the Kotel, are we assuming that the Kotel is actually a wall, which is part of the Azara itself? Or do we assume that the Kotel is simply the wall of the Har HaBayis? Now the major difference is going to be, are we allowed to enter that place in front of the wall, or do we assume that no, since we are Tumah HaYotzeh LaMigufo, since we have not gone to Mikvah anytime recently, so perhaps we are not allowed to enter onto the Har HaBayis, so we should not be allowed to go and stand in front of the Kotel either. That is a very important issue. Now,
you propose two conditions. There's a third condition, mm-hmm. the above. Har HaBayis, you suggest it's part of Har HaBayis, mm-hmm. it's part of the Azara.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe Har HaBayis is on top. Maybe Har HaBayis is at the top of the Kotel where we go. You know, we go to the prayer plaza. That may not have any of that kedusha. I mean, we believe that we're davening in front of something very special, but in terms of it being part of Har HaBayis or the Azara, I'm not sure.
On top where? I'm not sure what you mean.
When we go to the Kotel,
yeah,
we're at the bottom of the wall.
Okay.
On top of the wall is Har HaBayis.
Uh huh. Okay. Either way, what do you mean? The Har HaBayis doesn't just go on that ground level. It goes up and down also.
I've never heard of anybody who goes to the Mikveh before they go to the Kotel.
So that's the question. That's the major question. According to half of the Acharonim who discussed this question, the Avnei Nezer discussed it, the Chayyadim talks about it in the Chachmas Adam, and here the Tzitz Eliezer, I just quoted the Tzitz Eliezer so we get the bottom line. What do Rov Acharonim assume? Why is it that none of us stop ourselves from going to the Kotel? The reason why is because the Tzitz Eliezer tells us that the regular general consensus has been that the Kotel is not a part of the Azara, it's rather a part of the wall of the Har HaBayis. And therefore, when you stand in front of the wall, we don't assume that there's any problem for a person who's Tameh to stand there, because you're not standing at all on the Har HaBayis, you're standing outside of the parameters of the Har HaBayis per se. So let's look at the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg, who writes like this, Pukhazi, Ad kama hislabtu gedolei hadoros shelefaneinu. Look how much time the gedolei hadoros before us have spent kidei lidchos tainus maorim shel chachmei hatorah sherotzu lesser afilu ha'amida yidei hakosel ha'maravi mechashash ulei hakosel hazeh hu kosel ha'azara v'nimtza sha'omdim b'shetach harabai. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, there are those who came and argued and they claimed that this wall is in fact a wall of the Azara, not just a wall of the Har HaBayis. And if you have a wall of the Azara, that presents a major problem, because a Tameh is not allowed to be on the Shetach Har HaBayis if it's a Tameh B'tumah HaYotzeh LaMigufo. So therefore, says the Tzitz Eliezer, that would be a major problem. Then he continues and he says, Umehem shenatu lahaskim l'divrei ha'ma'orim. There were those gedolim who thought that they agreed with these people. V'rak bo ala lahatir mitamim acherim. They came up with other reasons to be matir. Some say that when you go to the Kotel, you have to actually go to the mikveh beforehand, and you have to actually make sure you have no chatzitza when you go to the mikveh, and you make a bracha. Some people said, don't go at all, because perhaps this is a wall of the Azara, and you're not allowed to enter at all. I don't know who that is. But the Tzitz Eliezer quotes him, Shekosev. He says, Belashon v'chalakar v'lakosel hu cholitz min alav. He says that anyone who goes and enters the Shetach HaKotel, anyone who goes to the plaza there, has to take his shoes off. Umashman, it would seem, from what he's saying, Shaya az minhog mekubal kazeh, kedin hanichnas tahar bayis. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, it seems that this was the common practice, that a person who went to Davin in front of the Kotel used to take off his shoes. Why? Because people assumed that this in fact was the wall of the Azara and not simply the wall of the Har HaBayis. However, he goes on and then he says, Amnam, Benogei l'Kotel HaMaravi kvar nimnu v'gamru. We have already came to a very clear consensus, she'einenu mikosel ha'azara, that we do not assume that this wall is part of the wall of the Azara. Rather, we have come to the consensus ki'im kosel Har HaBayis. We assume that it is a wall of the Har HaBayis, and therefore there is no issue at all with standing in close proximity to the Kotel per se. Ukedekasa b'sefer avoda tama shar beis v'zel l'shono. Haya po zem ikarav anashim ne'amanim v'nechmanim v'tamini chachamim Yerushalayim ir hakodesh. There were many, many great tamini chachamim from Yerushalayim and from all over the world. There were many great gedolim who came as well. And I asked all of them who came to visit what were their feelings about this wall. What do they feel the wall was actually made for? V'kulam peh echad anu b'yamru, and all the gedolim that I asked said, she'ein lahem shum safek ka'es, nobody in our generation has any more of a question. We have archaeologists who have dug up everything and who have found exactly what the parameters of the Makam HaMikdash really were. V'hu muskam etzol kulam, bein spardim bein ashkenazim, she'hakotel ha'ma'aravi, einu lo min ha'hechel v'lo min ha'azara, rak me'har ha'bayis. So we have come to the following conclusion, says the Tzitz Eliezer, and this has been a consensus by many Gedolei HaDoros, as he tells us, that the wall of the Kotel HaMa'aravi is not really a part of the Azara, rather it's a part of the Har HaBayis. And therefore, when you talk about going to visit that place, we don't assume that there's any restriction for a person to take his shoes off or to go to the mikvah before he goes, because we assume you're on the outside part of the Har HaBayis, and there is no Kedusha to that Makom, and as far as Kedushas Makom HaMikdash actually goes. Obviously, there's a special skula to go and daven there. The tefillos are much more mekubal because they're davening right next to the Makom HaMikdash. However, we don't assume that the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara are going to apply to that particular place. So we all go and we all visit, and we all assume, like the Tzitz Eliezer says, that this is a part of the Har HaBayis, and we think that we have nothing to worry about. Now, here's the problem. The problem is going to be as follows. We go and we daven, and we put our hands on the wall, and sometimes we stick our hands in a little crevice over there, or we stick in a piece of paper. We'll get to the piece of papers a little later. But is that something that we are allowed to do? Are we allowed to stick our hands into a crevice in the wall? Now you're going to ask, what's the question? Why should that be an issue? Don't we know that this is a wall of the Har HaBayis? It's not a wall of the Azara. And I'm not overstepping the boundary. I'm not going into the Har HaBayis itself. I'm standing by the wall. All I'm doing is sticking in my hands a little bit. So the problem is as follows. The Gemara tells us in Makos Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Habala Migdash Tameh Chayiv Kares. Someone who comes into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Makom HaMikdash, when he's Tameh, is Chayiv Kares. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Es Migdash Hashem Timeh V'nichrasa Nefesh Ahi Me'amel. So we learn from a Pasuk, someone who comes to the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tameh is going to be Chayiv Kares. Similarly, the Pasuk tells us by Yoledes, El HaMikdash Lo Savo, that a Yoledes, before she becomes Tehoro again, is not allowed to visit the Makom HaMikdash because she has a Tumah HaYotze Alav Migufo. She has a tumah that came from having a baby. And therefore we assume that she is not allowed to visit. Now, this isser of coming into the Beis HaMikdash as a tameh, as we said before, that applies whether one is tameh with a tumah yotze la migufo, or whether one is tameh because he came in contact with a dead body. When we talk about the Har HaBayis, the halacha is different, as we said. When we talk about the Har HaBayis, so then the only isser is for a person to enter the Har HaBayis when he has a tumah yotze la migufo, but not if he's a Tamei Meis. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that we're supposed to differentiate between the Tuma Yotzela Migufo and the Tuma from a Tumas Meis when we talk about a person entering onto the Har HaBayis? So the Gemara tells us that we learn that from the Psukim that tell us by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef Imo. The Psukim tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu goes back in Mitzrayim while everyone was busy taking the Kalim from the neighbors. Moshe Rabbeinu chacham leiv yikach mitzvos. Moshe Rabbeinu was busy going ahead and taking the bones of Yosef HaTzadik to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael with them as they were traveling through the desert. So that's what the Pasuk tells us. How is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to take it? Don't we know that Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the Machane Shechina? Don't we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was living ki'ilu on the Har HaBayis? He was living in close proximity to the Mishkan. So how is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to take vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo? How is he allowed to take the Atzmos Yosef along with him? Don't know that he was Tamei because he was handling the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. Well, from here, says the Gemara, you see that somebody who's a Tamei, Betumas Meis, somebody who becomes Tamei because he came in contact with a dead body, is in fact allowed to go ahead and be in the Makom HaMikdash. He's allowed to be in the Har HaBayis. When it comes to the Azara proper, he's not allowed to. When it comes to the Har HaBayis, he is allowed to. Now, just parenthetically, it's interesting to note, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Kufnun Beis, Kol mi she'ein lo kino b'libo, that's number dalet. Someone who lives his whole life and is never jealous of other people, ein atzmos markivin, says the Gemara, someone who never has kino b'libo, his bones will not rot after he passes away. Interesting Gemara. And the Gemara learns it from a pasuk in Mishlei that says, v'rekev atzmos kino. So the Maril Diskin writes in his Sefer on Chumash an interesting insight He says, if you think about the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll get back to this Gemara and Shabbos in a second, but the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, says the Maral Diskin. For those who know proper diktuk, proper grammar of the Hebrew language, so he says it's not really a proper usage. Really, it should have said, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef ito, not imo, because Rabbi Shulev Diskin points out that any time the Chumash uses the lashon of imo, it means that you're parallel. Is that correct? So anytime the Torah uses the lashon imo, im, it means that you're exactly parallel to one another. For example, the Gemara says, imcha b'maychel, imcha b'mishte, that you have to, kitov lo imach, we darshan, that you have to be parallel with the Eved. You have to give the Eved every single luxury that you have. He has to be the same, have the same treatment that you give to yourself. So over here also says the Maral Diskin, how do we use the lashon by Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. That's not a proper usage. What should it say? Ito. He's not equal to the bones of Yosef. Yosef's bones were dead. Moshe Rabbeinu is a live person. He's traveling through the Midbar. He's the one who's leading the Jewish people. So why do we use the lashon over here of imo? Well, says the Maral Diskin, a beautiful insight. He writes that Yosef HaTzadik says in number hey, V'halisem es atzmosai mizeh itchem. Says the Maral Diskin, what does Yosef himself say? I want you to take my bones, itchem, not imchem. So what's going on? Why does the pasuk over here say, when Moshe Rabbeinu actually goes to get the bones, why does Moshe Rabbeinu say, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo? Says the Maral Diskin beautifully. He says, do you think, when Yosef HaTzadik asked, V'halisem es atzmosai mizeh itchem, you think that Yosef was so worried about his own kavod? He was so concerned about being buried in Chutz La'aretz, that's all he cared about? He made the Jewish people promise that one day they're going to take his... Yeah, really, is that all it was about? Just about his own covet, his own honor? Says the Maral Diskin, absolutely not. What Yosef HaTzadik wanted was that they should look at the bones of Yosef after the 210 years in Mitzrayim, after all the Shibud was over, and you'll see, says Yosef, you'll see that my bones are still intact. Why are my bones still going to be intact? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, "Kol mi she'ein lo kina belibo, ein atzmos of markivin." Even though I had so much to be angry at my brothers about throughout my life, Yosef HaTzadik had so much misfortune in his life because of his own family, and he had every reason to hate them and to be mekana them and to be upset at them. Yet Yosef HaTzadik, 210 years later, tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "I want you to open up my bones," and 210 years later, they're still going to be intact. And what are you going to learn from that? What you're going to learn is that I never harbored any ill feelings, any ill will to my family, to my brothers. Even though they made my life miserable, even though they made things difficult for me, I never took it out on them. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to learn that lesson from Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu, who also had a pretty difficult time leading the Jewish people, Yosef wanted him to take those lessons. And he says, "Va'alisem es atzmosai mizeh itchem," but when Moshe Rabbeinu took it, it was imchem. He took the lessons. He made them parallel with himself. The same lessons that he saw from taking out the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, he understood that Yosef never had kina, he never had sinah, he never had jealousy, he never was upset at his brothers. So too Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. He takes them along and he internalizes their messages. And that's just parenthetically, it's an interesting idea when we talk about the whole makor for how we know that he's someone who's a tamei b'tumas meis, is allowed to enter into the Harabayis. That's learned from this pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef. And then we have this beautiful insight of the Maril Diskin in explaining the lashon of the pasuk Vayikach Moshe as atzmos Yosef imo instead of ito. So we have this halacha that a person whose tamei is not allowed to enter into the Makam HaMikdash. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that this applies in two different contexts. Number one, it applies if the person is Tameh and he's going into a Makam Kadosh, if he's going into the Har HaBayis or into the Beis HaMikdash, that's one manifestation of the Isser. And a second manifestation of the Isser will be, if the Beis HaMikdash is Tameh and I am Tahar, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that is also going to be an Isser of Bala Mikdash Tameh, because I'm not allowed to enter a Beis HaMikdash that's Tameh either. So that's just an interesting caveat that we describe when we talk about this Isser of entering the Beis HaMikdash Tameh. Applies whether the Beis HaMikdash itself is Tameh, or whether the person himself is Tameh as well. How about for a non-Jew? So the halacha is, the Aruch HaShulchan tells us, and the Menchas Chinuch says it as well, that for a non-Jew, this Isser of Bala Mikdash Tameh does not apply. Why? Because the Isser of Tumah V'Tahara obviously does not apply to a non-Jew. Tumah V'Tahara is only for the Jews, it's not for the non-Jews. Now, is that so simple? We have a Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us in Yud Gimel Amud Beis, a very historical Gemara, where the Gemara says, Elu min ha'alachos she'amru ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, she'alu levakro, when all the Talmidei Chachamim went to visit this Tana, Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. Now, who is this person? And why were all the Talmidei Chachamim going to visit him suddenly one day? So the Gemara here is on Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says that the reason why, if you look in Maseches Menachos, where the end of the story is, so we're told the following. There's a period in history where they wanted to hide the Sefer Yecheskel, one of the Sefer HaTanakh, one of the great Nevi'im. They wanted to hide it. Why? Because people felt, the Tanaim felt, that there were major discrepancies between Sefer Yecheskel and many of our Ikari HaEmunah. So they wanted to hide it because they didn't want people to fall in. They didn't want people to start learning Yecheskel and getting lost and getting confused. So they wanted to hide it. So this Rab Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon decided he's going to go and write a pirush on Yecheskel to try and reconcile all the problems that are seemingly issues between the Sefer Yecheskel and our Ikari HaEmunah. That's what the Gemara says in Menachos. So he went ahead, he locked himself in an attic, the Gemara says, for many, many days or years, months, whatever it was. And it says that they sent him up food and he sat there alone and he was writing a commentary on Yecheskel to try to reconcile all of the stiras between Yecheskel and all of the Ikari HaEmunah. So then, in the end, after he was finished, all the Talmidei Chachamim came up to his house and they wanted to sit and understand what he came up with. They wanted to sit and learn his Pirush on Yecheskel to understand whether or not he's correct or not. Like the Rambam says, they came really, Levakro doesn't really mean to visit him, it means to check him out. Let's see, did he really write a good Pirush, or did he do something here that wasn't so simple? So the Gemara says on that occasion, since this is such a historic event, so all of the great Tanaim of the generation came to visit this Hananya at that point. And at that time, the Gemara says, Nimnu v'rabu be'shamay al-beis Hillel, u'shmana aser dvarim gozer babayom. So the Gemara says, on that occasion, be'shamay chaptarayin, be'shamay realized, oh, we have a majority here. We have more Talmidim who came to visit than Beis Hillel. So why don't we go ahead? The halacha is that we always go after the rov. So be'shamay said, we have a unique opportunity. There are many more Talmidim of be'shamay who are here today than Talmidim of Beis Hillel. It was a field trip. Right? Usually in the Beis Medrash, Beis Hillel had more Talmidim. But now that they went on a field trip, for some reason more Talmidim of Beis Shammai came and less Talmidim of Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai said, why don't we quickly chaparayin and make as many gzeiros as we can before the Beis Hillel show up. So the Gemara tells us that they made 18 gzeiros before the Beis Hillel were able to show up, and all of those gzeiros were kayim. Now, you skip three blot, then the Gemara tells us on Daf Yud Zayin that they made a gzeira that any non-Jew, even if he's a day old, any non-Jew has a din like a status of a Zav. Any non-Jew is Tamei, even though, why should it be Tamei like a Zav? Zav means something comes out of your body. If you have a child who's 2 years old, who's 1 year old, we don't assume anything can come out of his body. He has to be a Gadol. Still, the Gemara says, we didn't want people, the Gemara tells us the reason why is because we didn't want the Jewish kids hanging out with the non-Jewish kids. We were concerned about Mishkav Zachar. So because we had that concern, the Gemara says, we instituted, the Beis Shammai instituted a Takana, a Gzeira, that a non-Jew has a status of a Tamei Tumas Zav. That's what the Gemara says. So the question is, ask the Rush, if it's true, in fact, that there's a Tamei Tumas Zav that we put onto all of the non-Jews, so then how is a non-Jew allowed to enter the Har HaBayis? How is a non-Jew allowed to enter the Har HaBayis? Tumas Zav is a Tumas Yotzel Migufo. And we just said that if someone is Tamei B'Tumas Yotzel Migufo, he's not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. Only a Tamei Mase is allowed to. So how is a non-Jew allowed to enter the Har HaBayis? So the Rush answers that no. How do we understand that Gzeira of Tuma that they made on a non-Jew? What right do we have to come along and tell a non-Jew how to act? It's none of our business. He's allowed to go where he wants. You're going to tell him you're allowed to go here, you're not allowed to go there? Why should he listen to us? He doesn't follow the rules of the Torah. The rules of the Torah are to govern the Jewish people. It's not to govern everyone else. So therefore, when it comes to a non-Jew, says the Rush, we never meant to say that the non-Jew has a status of a Zav, and therefore he's not allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis. All it means, says the Rush, is that we, if we come in contact with a non-Jew, as the Gemara says, it was a harchaka for ourselves, that we shouldn't get too close to the non-Jews, so therefore the Chacham said that a non-Jew has a status like a Zav. That just means that if we come in contact with him, we are going to become Tamei. But not that he himself is not allowed to go onto the Makom HaMikdash. That's the way the Rush explains this Gzeira of Tumah that we put on a non-Jew doesn't stop him from entering any particular place, any Makom Kadosh. Rather, all it does is, it says that if a Jew comes in contact with a non-Jew, it's going to make the Jew a Tame Tumas Ziva. That's what the Gemara tells us. Possibly the reason why the Chazal were not gozer on a non-Jew is because the Pasuk says, Ki Beisi Beis Tefila Yikari L'Chal Ha'amim. We have a Pasuk that says that everyone, all the nations of the world, are allowed to visit, they're allowed to enter the Makom of the Har HaBayis, to Davin, and to show their affection for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're allowed to offer Karbanos as well. So therefore, perhaps, when Chazal made this Gzeira of Tuma on a non-Jew, they didn't say that a non-Jew is not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. All they said is that a Jew who comes in contact with a non-Jew is not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis because he has a status of a Zav. So, leaving that aside, now we're talking about Jews who go to visit the Kotel. So we said already that the Kotel is considered the Chomas Har HaBayis. So what can possibly be a problem? So the problem can come up with the following scenario. There is a machlokas in Masechas Zvachim, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Abo and Reish Lakish. We have a pasuk that says, B'chal Kodesh Lo Sigatz number Vav, V'al Amigdash Lo Savo. Someone who is Tamei is not allowed to touch anything that is Kachim. V'al Amigdash Lo Savo. And he is not allowed to enter into the Beis Amigdash. Now, based on this, the Gemara says Rabbi Abo and Reish Lakish have the following machlokas. Do we assume that Bia B'miktsas Shma Bia or not? Let's say a person just partially enters the Makom HaMikdash when he's Tamei. Should that be someone who's now going to be Chayiv Kares? Or do you say no? In order to be Chayiv Kares for Bala Mikdash Tamei, you have to actually enter, your whole body has to go into the Makom HaMikdash, but if just you do a Bia B'miktsas, if you just enter partially, that is not going to be an iser of a Tameh entering the Har HaBayis. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. Why should we say that even partial entry is considered an iser? So says the Gemara. Because let's look at number Vav together. What does the Pasuk say? V'chal Kodesh lo Siga, you're not allowed to touch Kachim. V'al Amigdash lo Sabo, so says the Gemara. The same way that Gia, the nature of touching, means just B'miktsas, I just touch it a little bit with my finger. I don't have to touch it with my whole body. In order to touch something, you just touch it with a drop of your body. So too says the Gemara, El HaMikdash Lo Savo also means that. When we say that a Tamei is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, it means even if he comes in a drop of his body, the same way if he touches with a little bit of his body, he's already violation of the Isser. So too if he enters with just a little bit of his body, he's also in violation of the Isser. So that is the din, Bia B'miktsa Shma Bia. How do we paskin regarding that halacha? So the Rambam says, no, you're right, there is a machlokas in the Gemara whether Bia B'miktsa Shma Bia or not. The Rambam says that min HaTorah we hold that Bia B'miktsas Lav Shma Bia. The Rambam says you only get Makas Mardus. If someone sticks his hand, he's Tameh, and he just sticks his hand into the Makam HaMikdash, into the Har HaBayis, it's not a violation of an Issa D'Araisa because you really have to enter fully in order to get the real Isser Kares that is warranted for a person who is a Tamei and he's Bala Migdash in that state of Tumah. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid believes that a person who goes onto the Har HaBayis, even if he doesn't enter his whole body, just sticks his hand or his finger into the Har HaBayis, that already is a reason to say the person is Chayiv Kares. Why? Because the Ravid paskins, like the Manda Amr in the Gemara, that Bia B'miktsah Shma Bia. Even if I do a partial entry into the Makom HaMikdash while I'm Tamei, I'm also going to be in violation of Bala Mikdash Tamei. The same way, Nogeya Zasa Rekol Shu, the same way one who touches the Makom HaMikdash when he's Tamei, or he touches Kachim when he's Tamei, even though he doesn't touch it with his whole body, he just touches with a little bit, he's already in violation. So too says the Ravid, one who enters just partially into the Makom HaMikdash when he's Tamei, is also going to be in violation of Bala Mikdash Tamei. So when you think about that, so let's bring it back to our case. I'm standing by the Kotel. Oh, so I stick my hand into the hole. We assume Bia B'miktsas Shma Bia. Even if I only do a partial entry into the Makom HaMikdash, I'm already in violation of an Isser Kares. So this is something many, many people don't really think about. We have here a major, major problem. A suffix of an Isser Kares. The Ravid holds that if you just enter partially, you're ready Chayiv Kares. So you're going to ask the following. You're going to ask the Avnei Nezer's question. You're going to say, well, I'm not sticking my hand all the way through into the other side of the Har HaBayis, right? All I'm doing, is that what you were going to ask? That's what he was going to ask, right? All I'm doing is I'm sticking my hand into the wall, just into the thickness of the wall. Well, who said the wall itself has a din like the Har HaBayis? The wall itself is what protects the Har HaBayis. Who said that if I just stick my hand a little bit in, I should already assume that that is considered like I went partly into the Makom HaMikdash, and that is like Bala Mikdash Tameh? Well, the good news is that the Avnei Nezer agrees with you, but some Achronim do not. The Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Pei Vav and Aleph that Ove HaChoma Kelefnim Dami. The Gemara in Pesachim talks about the status of a wall. What's the status of a thickness of a wall? Is the status of a thickness of a wall like the inside? Or is the status of the thickness of the wall like the outside? I would have said it's like the outside. Why? Why would you have said that? Because the whole wall here was made to prevent someone from going into the Har HaBayis. So what kind of prevention is that if you're going to say that even the thickness of the wall is already considered like the Har HaBayis itself? So the Gemara happens to tell us that the status of a wall is kilifnim dami. So I would have said, if that's correct, if the Gemara, you take the Gemara at face value, I would have said, well, we're back to our problem. The Ravid paskins that, what? Bia b'miktza shma bia. Even if I do a partial entry b'tuma, I'm already in violation of bala mikdash tameh. And over here, the Gemara says, m'sachem daf peivav, obi hachoma kilifnim dami, that the thickness of the wall is considered like the inside. You put those two things together, what do you have? The person who sticks his hand into the kotel is in violation of an iser kares.
Why do you even have to stick it in? Just touching the whole kodesh lasiga? That doesn't count.
No, because it's not officially kodesh. You're just touching the outside. Right? It doesn't have a status of kedusha. Just once you stick in, if you say that the thickness of the wall has a status like the inside, that's already a problem. So the Avnei Nezer says, no. This that the Gemara says, ovi hachoma kilifnim dami, that's not a halacha that applies to all areas of halacha. That was only said by the Azara, by the wall of the Azara. That the wall of the Azara, the thickness of the wall of the Azara, has the status of the Azara itself, like the Beis HaMikdash itself. But says the Avnei Nezer, perhaps the wall of the Har HaBayis, we don't extend this principle and say every time we have a question about the thickness of the wall, it's considered like the inside. We don't always assume that. Says the Avnei Nezer, perhaps we only assume that the thickness of the wall has the status of the inside in a case when we're talking about the Azara proper. When you're talking about other walls, we don't assume like that. I saw in a sefer called Time of the Crow, which is written many insights from Reb Chaim Kanievsky on Chumash. So I once saw an insight in there where he talks about B'shibin Nefesh Yardu Avasechem Mitzrayimah. We all say it in the Haggadah every year. And we all know that Yocheved was Nolda Bein HaChomos. Yocheved was born in between the walls. So ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I don't understand. Doesn't the Gemara say over here, Ovi Achoma Kilif Nimdami? So it says, when you came down to Mitzrayim, you had 70 bodies. What do you mean? But if Yocheved was Nolda Bein HaChomos, if you're going to say she was born in the thickness of the wall, which is hard to understand what exactly it means, we take it so literally that she was Nolda Bein HaChomos? Okay. Well, it says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if you're going to say that Ovi Achoma Kilif Nimdami, if you're going to say that every time we talk about a wall, we assume that the thickness of the wall has a status like the inside, then we're back to our problem. How do you say B'shivim Nefesh Yardav Asecha Mitzrayma? They weren't 70 when they came down. One of them was born on the other side of the wall. Interesting insight. Well, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you see again like the Avnei Nezer proves, that we don't say in Kala Tarakula that Ovi HaChoma Kilif Nimdami, we don't assume that everywhere else the thickness of the wall is considered like the inside. No, that's a special halacha by the Azara because it has such an intense level of Kedusha, so we assume that even the thickness of the wall also takes on those properties of the Azara proper. However, when we talk about every other scenario, when you have a wall itself, we don't assume that the thickness of the wall takes on the properties of the inside. That is taina number one, lahakel, why the Avnei Nezer believes that there's no problem to stick your hand in the thickness of the wall, because number one, this wall is not the wall of the Azara. Number two, it's the wall of the Har HaBayis. And even if you're going to say, bia b'miksa, shma bia, like the Ravid paskins, la halacha, still we're going to assume that the thickness of the wall of the Har HaBayis does not have a status like Har HaBayis itself. And secondly, he says, Avnei Nezer argues that perhaps, even if you're going to say, bia b'miksa, shma bia, even if you're going to say, like the Ravid says, that a partial entry is considered like an entry itself, perhaps that's also only said by the Azara. Maybe that's not said by the whole Har HaBayis. Maybe that halacha is only said by the Beis HaMikdash proper and not on the whole Shetach Har HaBayis. That is what the Avnei Nezer argues. Sounds all very nice. If we stop there, we're safe. But look at number Zion. We have a sefer called Mishkanos La'Aver Yaakov. It's an old sefer, and he quotes there from the Aderes. The Aderes was the father-in-law of Rav Kook. He was a great Gaon. He lived in Europe. Then he became the Rav of Yerushalayim. Then he moved to Panevish. He was teaching there. He was a great gadol. So the Adera says, "Kol yarei v'charei l'dvar Hashem." Someone who is concerned, someone who, he doesn't mean a charedi, he means someone who's very frum, someone who's very careful about mitzvahs. Bivada yachush l'nafsho, he will be very careful for himself. Shelo yoshit gam etzba achas bein sedek hakotel hamaravi lebal yikoshel chalila b'sofik isher Torah. Says the Adaris, the father-in-law of Rav Kook. And this is not only the Adaris speaking, the Maral Diskin writes like this as well. The Sefer Ir HaKadosh Ra Migdosh writes like this, that this is the practice. The Chazon Ish is quoted as saying the same shita as well. And the Chayi Adam, the famous Chayi Adam and his Chachmas Adam writes this as well. That if a person is careful about mitzvahs, he will make sure not to stick his hand inside of the thickness of the wall of the Kotel. Why? Because as we said, all the assumptions that the Avnei Nezer made are not so simple. The Avnei Nezer said, number one, Obi Achoma Kilifnim Dami doesn't apply to the Harabayit, it only applies to the Azara. And number two, he said, Bia B'miksa Shema Bia doesn't apply to the Harabayit, it only applies to the Azara. Both of those assumptions are very shaky, very questionable, and therefore there are many great Gedolim who said, a person should be careful not to stick his hands in at all, because he might be in violation of an Isser Daraisa, of a Suffolk Isser Karis. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, I've never seen anyone who's careful about this. I don't understand. Yes, you have all the lamdas, all the chidushim, very nice, but I've never seen any great tzaddik who's careful about this. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that for me is a good enough raya that the halacha is simply not true. So that is the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and there are those who argue, and it's something for us perhaps to consider, maybe, you know, when we talk about a suffix isser kares, not a simple matter. Perhaps when you talk about a suffix isser kares, there's room to be machmir a little bit. Maybe we should not stick our hands in, because there's a lot that rides on our doing so. We might be actually, in fact, in violation of a possible isser kares.
It's not a real wall, it's a retaining wall. Don't you have dirt? I mean, if you're sticking your hand in, you're going to hit dirt.
Okay.
You're not going to be under, like, an ohel or anything. By a house, the wall, the ohel makes the whole thing a house.
Mm-hmm.
By this, there's nothing there. It's just a wall that's open.
And therefore?
There's no, like, tumma by ohel or anything, and there's dirt, which is another wall.
So who said that dirt doesn't take on the status of the harabais?
There's no ohel on it. Right? Like, by a house, you're sticking in, mm-hmm. like, by Mitzora, it's all part of it, because, you know, the walls mm-hmm. and the roof.
Mm-hmm.
By this, there's no roof.
Yeah, but the kedusha of the harabais is nispashit. It spreads out onto the whole shetah.
Have a roof.
What?
Doesn't have to have a roof.
By tumma.
By tumma it does, but the airspace itself, thank you, the airspace itself already is infused with all the kedusha of the Shekhinah.
And the dirt wouldn't be enough for a while. So the dirt can become tumma?
No, dirt can't become tumma, but dirt can take on a status of makam kadosh. Right?
Even if you didn't have the wall and you stuck your hand, if there was no wall, let's say there was no wall there at all,
right?
And you stuck your hand into the airspace of the Har Bias,
So there's a very surprising tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer writes that in Shulchan Aruch it says a person who enters a Beis HaKiseh, someone who enters a bathroom, has to wash his hands afterward. Now nowadays we assume our bathrooms are not the same as the bathrooms in the times of Chazal, because generally our systems don't leave around any mess. Generally we have a plumbing system which makes the bathroom be very clean, and that's not what they used to have in the times of Chazal. But when we're describing the old time Beis HaKiseh, so there the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to wash your hands when you come out of the Beis HaKiseh, even if you didn't actually use it. So the Tzitz Eliezer has a suffix where he's not sure, what if a person just sticks his hand in to get a paper towel and, you know, he doesn't even walk in. Do we say Bia B'miktsa Shema Bia? That's the suffix that the Tzitz Eliezer has. Then I saw the Chidush Arim as a suffix on Shulchan Aruch also. In Chosha Mishpa, we assume that a person who, a Bezdin who goes to collect money on my behalf, let's say, somebody's not paying me back, I go to Bezdin, then the Bezdin shows up at his house and says, hey, you gotta pay up. So it says that the Bezdin is not allowed to actively go into your house to take properties away. They have to wait outside the door and wait for you to give it to them. Even though they give you a summons, it doesn't mean that they have the right, the license to go ahead and ransack your house. They have to wait outside until you present them with something to give to the other party. That's what the Gemara says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. So Chidush Arim has a suffix. What if the person who is the policeman for the Bezdin goes to the house, and he doesn't enter the house, he just puts his hand in, takes away the diamond ring, goes, sticks a hand in somewhere else, takes away the leichter, starts taking, collecting things from the house without even entering. So the Chidush Arim says, yeah, that's based on this discussion of Bia B'miksa Shma Bia, Should we assume that that's already a violation of what the Torah says, that you're not allowed to enter the house? Or do we say no, that perhaps since he didn't enter, all he did was stick his hand in, that's not called entry and that would be permissible? So both the Tzitz Eliezer and the Chiddush Arim have these sfeikos with regard to simple mundane matters. Now I find this very troubling. Why is it troubling? Because Tosis in Masechah Shavuos has the following kasha. Tosis writes in Masechah Shavuos and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, he says, I don't understand. Why does the Gemara have a machlokis, Rabbi Abo and Rish Lakish? By Bia b'mikzah Shema Bia by the Beis HaMikdash, if I just enter partially into the Makam HaMikdash while I'm Tamei, whether or not I'm in violation of the Isser, why do we only have the disagreement over there? How come when it comes to a Ba l'mikdash Tamei, I'm sorry, to a Ba l'bayis HaManuga, number Ches, if you look in the Mishnah Negoim, the Mishnah tells us, Tar shenichnas rosh v'ruba l'bayis HaManuga nitma. If you have a person who's Tahar, who walks into a bayis hamanuga, rosh v'rubo, that means most of his body goes in. And we say in Kala Torah Kula, rubo kukulo. So if I enter, rove of my body enters into a bayis hamanuga, I assume that I'm going to become tamei. From here you can deduce that if I only enter part of my body, let's say I just stick my hand into a bayis hamanuga, you're not going to be tamei. The Feirush Mishnah, the Mishnah says that outright. So why is it, ask Tosis, why is it that only over here by the Azara we have this discussion of Bia b'mikzah Shema Bia, and when it comes to the other areas of Halacha, let's say sticking my hand into a Bayis HaManuga, over there is no discussion about Bia b'mikzah. Why don't we say the same thing? If a person merely sticks his hand into a Bayis HaManuga, he is also going to become Tameh. Good Kasha. This is Tosis Kasha in Shavuos Daf Yud Zayin. So Tosis answers no. Because we began with number Vav, the Pasuk says, B'chol kosh lo siga v'al ha-migdash lo sabo. The only reason to assume by the Beis HaMikdash that a Bia B'miktas is considered a Bia is only because
it's holy,
and because we assume Makish Bia L'Negiyah, the Pasuk says, because it's said in the same Pasuk that you're not allowed to touch, as we said in that same Pasuk that you're not allowed to enter, so the Gemara says that we're Makish Bia L'Negiyah, the same way you're not allowed to touch just with a part of your body, so too you're not allowed to enter even with a part of your body. But says Tosis, you can't apply that principle to other areas of Halacha at all. So therefore, when we talk about a Bayis HaManuga, that has nothing to do with this Pasuk over here of B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga Vel HaMikdash Lo Sabo. So you can't draw any conclusions from that Gemara to our Gemara. So therefore, Tosis says that this is a local Halacha that is only with regard to Makam HaMikdash. You can't apply it to other Sugyas. So it's a little bit troubling why the Tzitz Eliezer and why others say as well that there's a question, there's a discussion when a person, you know, sticks his hand to a Beis HaKiseh, do we say Bia B'mikzah Shema Bia? Or like the case of the Chiddush HaRim, when you have a Shliach Bezdin who goes to someone's house to take away the items because he didn't pay someone back, and he just sticks his hand in, he doesn't enter the house. So is he already in violation of the Isser? How can you apply the principle from our Sugya, Bia B'mikzah Shema Bia, by the Makam HaMikdash, that has nothing to do with these other applications in Halacha whatsoever? So that is the simple understanding of the way Tosis sees our Sugya and Shavuos Daf Yud Zayin, and explaining this Gemara in Zvachim as well by Bia B'mikzah Shema Bia. Let's just close with everyone can read the rest on their own, but basically there's Reb Nevensal writes in his Ha'aras to the new Mishnah Berurahs that they put out with Reb Nevensal's Ha'aras, so they write in the back there, which they say that Reb Nevensal looked all these Ha'aras over on his own, so I'll take their word for it. But Reb Nevensal talks about putting Pitkaot, putting messages, putting letters into the wall. Now, this is an age-old practice. We already have a documentation that the Arachayim HaKadosh sent a letter with someone to put into the wall. Okay, there were old menhagim to do such a thing. But Rav Nevensal and many others feel that perhaps it's not a proper thing to do. Number one, says Rav Nevensal, he says three reasons why he believes that it's not a right thing to do. Number one, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oy V'Shomea Tefillah, says Rav Nevensal. That's not a tefillah. You're not offering a tefillah by writing a letter and sticking it into the wall. Spend your time at this sacred place actually offering a tefillah pipet. Don't write a tefillah on the wall. Go ahead and offer it with your own mouth. So that's number one. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to listen to our tefillah, so why write it on a piece of paper? That's number one. And even if you don't know how to daven in Hebrew, even if you don't know how to offer a tefillah, you're allowed to daven in other Lashonas as well. Especially the Gemara says if you're davening with a tzibur, you're certainly allowed to daven in other Lashonas. So over here, says Rav Nevensal, the reason number one is, there's no reason to deprive oneself of davening b'peh. You may as well daven and offer a tefillah in the proper fashion instead of writing it on a piece of paper. Number two, he says, there's an iser me'ilah if a person uses hekdesh for his own purposes. So he says, Perhaps if I'm going to use it for my own purposes, what am I using this little hole in the wall for? I'm using it to put my little pieces of paper on, my tchotchkes, my own problems. I'm just sticking them on the wall. So the same way I have a table at home to stick my pieces of paper on, so I just find a nice empty space there, and I put my piece of paper, my junk, I put them over there. Says Rav Nevenzahl, it's a question of me'ila. I'm using the stones of the Makom HaMikdash for my own purposes. So he says, perhaps that's a second reason why one should refrain from putting notes into the wall. And number three, he says, as we've described in great detail, that the Avnei Nezer and many other Acharonim discuss, perhaps even if a person partially sticks his fingers or his hands into the wall, that's already a violation of Bala Mikdash Tameh. And that's a Suffolk Yisr Kares. Well, says Rav Nevenzahl, how are you going to stick a letter into the wall without sticking your hand or your finger, your pinky in a little bit? It's almost impossible. Unless you stick it in with a string, whatever you're going to do, you stick it in with a pencil, I don't know. But Stam, if a person's using his own hands, how is it possible for him to do so without somehow sticking his little parts of his fingers into the wall as well? So that gets back to the question of the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, about the discussion between the Avnei Nezer and many other Gedolim, whether there's an issue of entering the Oviyacha, of putting one's hands just into the thickness of the wall, is that already a violation of a Isser Kare? So perhaps, as Rav Nevenzahl, it's something we should be careful about and refrain from sticking our notes, from sticking our hands into the wall when we go and visit and wear mespel. So hopefully we have gained a little bit of slight appreciation into this Makom HaMikdash, into the whole Shetach HaRabayis, and hopefully that through our learning, through our Zchus Talmud Torah Derabim, we will all be zochet to Yeshua's v'nachamos and to see the Geula HaSidah b'mher v'yameinu, amen v'amen.